For years and years, heating has meant boilers, and boilers have meant breakdowns. Over here and over here. Anything but music to your ears. At Fisher Future Heat, we create state-of-the-art home heating systems that we fit, then you forget. With no annual servicing needed and a huge 10-year guarantee. In short, we engineer common sense. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, I'm Matt Hansen.
And I'm Tristan Riddell.
And you're listening to the Nerd Party.
Talk nerdy to me.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello, everybody at home. This is episode 12 of the Nerd Party, and we're going to do a little bit of a change today. If you listened to the very end of our last episode, it was teasing us talking about our favorite Christmas movies. But the thing is that when we decided to kind of take a break for Thanksgiving, the nerd world exploded, Matt.
I feel like we're announcing that this is a special Nerd Party nerd emergency podcast. I feel like we should have klaxons going out or something because, yeah, in the hiatus we took between our Interstellar show and now, the geek world just exploded with a whole bunch of news that we're going to talk about here. Stuff that really, went through the whole range of emotions for me, shall we say.
I mean, this was an insane time. I mean, we dropped our last episode before Thanksgiving, and we're recording this in the first week of December. And, I mean, that's not a lot of time to go by, but we have so much to talk about and not enough time to talk about all of it, and so we have to be really selective. And so let's just talk about the biggest thing that happened in that time, and you all know what I'm talking about. I don't even need to mention the words, but that is the Star Wars trailer.
The trailer that pretty much everyone on the planet has seen. I think, Avengers Age of Ultron trailer got a huge number of views. This has almost, surpassed it, though. So I think it's fair to say that probably those two movies are going to be the biggest ones for next year.
Absolutely. And I am a huge Star Wars fan. You know that. I'm a bigger Star Wars fan than I am Marvel fan. But the thing is, I love the trailer. But the Avengers trailer definitely got me more hyped.
It's true, but the thing that I will give the Star Wars trailer is that this is just the first few images. Remember, Avengers is coming out 5 months from now, so you got to step that up a little bit more.
Yes.
We're not due to get this thing for another year.
You're absolutely 100% right, and I'm glad that you brought that up because a lot of people need to understand that. Like, people watch the trailer, and then they did what everybody does. They go to the internet and complain. And they started complaining. They're like, well, we don't know anything about the story. You know, how am I supposed to get excited about it? Well, this is more of an announcement trailer, a teaser trailer. If you look at the history of teasers, that's what they do. They tease the movie. It doesn't explain the movie to you.
And we know how Abrams does his teaser trailers. We saw the last two Star Trek teaser trailers. It fits quite nicely in with the feel of those last two. Maybe even more so, only because you got to see a little bit more than the very first 09 Star Trek trailer was just the Enterprise being built, which was cool. But, that was it. That was all
yeah.
We got. So we got a little bit more in this trailer. But it's very much in the style of those previous two.
Yeah, speaking of that, I mean, that was just so cool because it was built specifically to be an announcement trailer. This was not footage that was going to be used in the movie. It never had any intention of being used in the movie or made us think that. It was just, it showed us them welding and putting the ship together, and it said under construction. Now that is cool.
Right, and you know, I have to admit, I'm a much bigger Trek fan than I am a Wars fan. I haven't seen a Star Wars movie for a good few years. I mean, I saw the original trilogy after I got exposed to Star Trek, so, you know, most people say it's the other way around.
Mm.
But I remember really loving them when I was a kid. I watched the original trilogy a bunch of times as a kid. I even watched some of the prequels most of the time as a kid, when those came out, I wasn't old enough to distinguish the problems with them.
Yeah.
I mean, in 1999, I was 10. So, I was the target age for those films. Looking back on it now, though, you know, not being that into Star Wars and not like Star Wars crazy like most of the world is, I have to say that I wasn't too hyped for this. I wish JJ well. I'm a big fan of his post Star Trek, but I'll tell you, this trailer got me intrigued, which is more than I thought it would do.
And I think that was its intention. It was never intended, I think, to be a home run. It was never intended to be like, okay, well, I don't like Star Wars, but now I'm definitely going to go see that. No, this was not a Hail Mary. This was nothing like that. This was just supposed to get you intrigued. This is to give you a taste of what's to come and let you know we're going in the right direction. This is not the prequels, and it's also not the originals. This is something new.
It's definitely not, and I keep in mind, I'm a big fan of J.J. Abrams, and when I say this, it's not meant as an insult, but when you look at the cinematography and the look of this film, just from the announcement trailer, it feels like a J.J. Abrams film.
Very much so, and it should. It should feel like a J.J. film because yes, it's J.J.'s film, but at the same time, I think he's making it his own, but he's still preying on our nostalgia, because yeah, if you look at the images that he chose to show you and the order in which he chose to show you, the first thing we see is Tatooine, a vista that we're very familiar with and saw in more Star Wars films than we didn't. And then we see a new type of stormtroopers. We see X-Wing fighter. We see the Millennium Falcon. We see a lightsaber. It's all that imagery that's supposed to evoke something within us.
I was going to say, you skipped over the most well, there are two controversial things. One that I find completely blown out of proportion. I don't even know why it's a controversy. And the second one, which is a nerd controversy, which is the new lightsaber that's in this trailer.
let's talk about that for a second. Okay, so I knew about the lightsaber before it was shown in the trailer, and I'm not going to tell you how. But I knew about the lightsaber, and I was pondering how it was going to... there was going to be a triple-bladed lightsaber, and I was like, oh, geez, okay, I wonder how they're going to pull that off. And I was expecting something ridiculous.
You mean something that would top the Darth Maul double-bladed?
Well, no, see, that's the thing. Is like, okay, in the original series, we had one blade. In the prequel, we had two. And so in the new trilogy, we're supposed to have three. And so I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting something ridiculous. I don't think this is ridiculous. I don't think it's necessary, but I don't think it's ridiculous.
I saw it and I didn't think it was ridiculous, but I'm like, huh, that's odd. It just didn't seem practical to me. But then again, I thought to myself, you know, we're a year out. I don't know what it's like in context. Let's see what it's like in context.
And that's the thing that I'm kind of going towards, is that it's a broadsword style. You know, it's the cross at the top of the hilt that broadswords have. It's supposed to protect your hands. And that's the argument for it. The argument against it is, well, you still need metal in order to protrude the lightsabers out. And so regardless if those are there, they could still swipe down and chop it off.
Right.
So, I mean, there's arguments for and against, but let's see it in action. Let's see if it can do something cool, because I'm sure they're not just going to have the triple-bladed lightsaber and not do something cool with it. I mean, come on.
No, I doubt it. And, you know, the other controversy I don't want to give any airtime to, it's the whole Black Stormtrooper thing. And if that bothered you by any means, then you don't belong in the 21st century, quite frankly.
I agree with you that we shouldn't give it airtime, but at the same time, it boils my blood. I just can't stand it.
Well, it's the same kind of thing where, you know, I don't know if you had if you heard any of the controversy behind this new Fantastic Four reboot that's supposedly coming out next summer. But yeah, people, I couldn't tell you, and I was surprised. I mean, I never was one to think that racism was totally dead in this country, but I would think among the nerd community it would be a little bit more embracing, since we're, you know, a minority ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the new Johnny Storm was announced, this actor Michael B. Jordan, people yeah, were outraged that they cast a black Johnny Storm.
Oh, it doesn't matter, folks. It really doesn't matter. It's a fictional character. I mean, things change. I mean, but the thing is, okay, here's the thing, and I'm not defending racism whatsoever. I'm not defending it at all. But here's the thing. People bitched when Daniel Craig came out as Bond because he had blonde hair.
Right.
What the hell, people?
I remember that. I remember that. Like I said, I don't want to give it too much credence, because it's a really, I mean, it's terrible that it even came up. But to me, it's a total non-issue. Like, there's a black stormtrooper. Fine. I really don't care. It's much, you know what? I'll even go one step further. It's much better than the explanation they gave in the prequels for who the stormtroopers were.
And that's the thing, is that There's so many reasons, and I want to list those reasons for you idiots out there who happen to be listening to us who are racist. Or, see, here's the thing. You're a racist and you're a bad geek, and here's why, okay? Because the first image we see is a black man in a stormtrooper outfit without his helmet. Now, the thing is, we don't know that that's a stormtrooper. We've seen people...
He could be pulling a Luke from A New Hope.
He could be pulling a Luke and Han. He could, you know, he could be in disguise. He could also, you know, like, even if he was a stormtrooper who happened to be black, the clone troopers were not played by white men. And also, the clone troopers are not the stormtroopers. There was a transition. The clone troopers, the troopers that we saw in the original trilogy are not the troopers that we saw in the prequel trilogy. Those were clones. And then the stormtroopers are actual people that were hired of many different species, many different colors. And so not only are you stupid, you're a bad geek. Right. And also, it's the 21st century, and we should applaud this kind of diversity, because if it's true, if the rumors are true that he's the lead of the movie, that is monumental. We're going to have a black, non-American lead of the biggest science fiction franchise of all time.
Right.
That is awesome.
And, you know, we did have, you know, African-American characters in Star Wars before with Billy Dee Williams and then later Samuel L. Jackson. But they were, you know, side characters or secondary characters at best. So this feels like a huge step forward if he is, in fact, the lead. Of course, we don't know anything at this point.
We don't know yet. But, I mean, there is, we got a lot of, it was really great to see a lot of diversity in the trailer, because the people that we saw a black man. We saw a man of Hispanic descent, and we saw a woman.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, well, not surprisingly, because I figured they wouldn't be in it, but none of the original cast are in it yet. But that's got to be the money thing that they're holding out for. I hear there's going to be a second trailer in front of Avengers, which, you know, everybody will see that too, because, you know, everybody's going to go see Avengers. Disney must be really happy at this point. They've pretty much guaranteed they've got the top two movies of next year.
Yeah, no, they're sitting pretty, And yeah, it's just, you know, we saw some really cool stuff, and we saw some backlash because nerds can be angry, and I don't know why.
To end on a positive note about this, though, I, who's totally not that much into Star Wars, appreciates it, but not totally into it the way most people are. Even I gotta say, I sat up a little bit straighter when you saw the Millennium Falcon come on screen and you heard the burst of the Star Wars fanfare. I'm like, that's how you do a teaser trailer.
That is how you do a teaser trailer. And also, I love the continuity that the satellite dish on top of the Millennium Falcon is different because it got bumped off at the end of Return of the Jedi. That's just cool.
Yeah. There's so much attention to detail, and I can't wait to see what happens over the next year as we get to see more and more. But I hope that as much as people complained about the mystery box that J.J. Abrams likes to use, I like not knowing anything. I think we take so much for granted these days. And wasn't the complaint a few years ago about trailers how trailers showed way too much and that you knew the story before you even got into the theater? So, see, I don't know why people are complaining now that you know too little.
Because people want to complain. That's all they want to do. They just want to complain. If it's too much, they'll complain about that. If it's too little, they'll complain about that. If it's a black guy, they'll complain about that. If it's a white guy, they'll complain about that.
Well, so there's so much complaining around several trailers that we're going to talk about today.
And this one was a positive trailer. This was a good trailer, and still people complained. Let's talk about a mediocre trailer where people still complained, and that's Terminator Genesis.
Mediocre to some people. Now, I got to say, you know, as someone who dearly loves the first two films, was okay with the fourth one and you know, even watched the series, which I loved. I saw this trailer and I was not hating it. I gotta say, I mean, I know that some people feel like the dialogue is a little corny and people don't fit their roles very well. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I had in response to that was, I love the first two Terminator films. I wasn't watching them for their stellar acting. First of all,
yeah.
I mean, people were saying, "Oh, the it's filled with such one-liners." Well, that's what the first two films were. They were incredible action scenes, but they had so many '80s cheesy one-liners, including that second film that's so beloved.
And also, what do you think's going to go into a trailer?
So, you know,
one-liners.
To me, you know, it depends on how you feel about this potential story, which I'm just going to call it out right now. I was totally right. When we did our Terminator retrospective, I said that this new movie I thought was going to be a J.J. Abrams, Bryan Singer reboot of the franchise, and it looks like that's exactly what this is. And I'm excited. I actually want to see this movie. I'm looking forward to it.
I am no different from before I saw the trailer. And that's why I call the trailer mediocre, because I'm not saying that it's a bad trailer. I'm not saying it's an excellent trailer. I just think it's mediocre because of my response to it. I want to see the movie, and I don't necessarily think it needed to be made. But at the same time, I saw the trailer, and I'm like, okay. I'm still kind of there, like, yeah, I'll see the movie, but I'm not running towards the theater.
At the same time, though, you have to admit, I think that the negative response is kind of blown out of proportion, only because I think that the least amount of response that you can get from the trailer was, okay, this has potential. I think it has potential, certainly more so than something like Terminator 3 did, which felt like an unnecessary sequel. This feels like it might accomplish something, you know what I mean? So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think you have a good point there. I think it's right. I mean, like, think of it this way, and I know you won't agree with me on this one, but the first three Terminator films are very analogous to the first three X-Men films. You have amazing first two with an third one. And then you have Terminator Salvation, which is a lot like X-Men First Class. It's something new, it's in a different time, and it had very mixed reviews. Some people loved it, some people hated it, and a lot of people were just right down the middle. But then you have Days of Future Past that came out, and then that tries to combine the ages, the new and the old, and reboot at the same time. I really do think that they're trying to pull a Days of Future Past with Genesis.
I agree that they're trying to follow Days of Future Past with Genesis. I think that if you get the general reaction from most people that First Class is a little bit more liked than Terminator Salvation was.
I knew you were going to hang up on that. Okay, it's an analogy. I didn't say it was a perfect one.
I think a better analogy is what the template is for this film, and that's Star Trek. Star Trek was a film series that had been popular for a long time. It had more than three films, so it had more than Terminator, but let's say that Terminator 3 and Salvation, the reception of that was probably as warm as Insurrection and Nemesis. So I think that this new film is going to do hopefully what Star Trek 2009 did and breathe new life into a franchise that I think a lot of people have written off because it doesn't have the legacy that Star Trek does. I mean, Star Trek's been around for almost 50 years. This is coming up, actually just had its 30th this year. But I think it has potential. I'm really curious to see where it goes. And unlike a lot of the people, I don't hate the kind of acting I saw in this trailer. Now, am I a huge fan of Jai Courtney, especially after A Good Day to Die Hard? No. But I don't know if that film can entirely be blamed on him. I think it was a bad script to begin with. And second of all, as much as I loved Michael Biehn as Kyle Reese, and you know, thought he was hot and wanted his shirt off in every scene, Kyle Reese is not a deep, stellarly acted character. So I thought he gave the role what it needed, and you know, we'll see how it turns out. What I was really surprised just looking at the trailer is how much Emilia Clarke looks like a young Linda Hamilton.
I was actually kind of surprised with that too, and we're just going to gloss over how I completely disagree about your analogy to Star Trek, but I was looking at her because, like, when she was casted, I was like, okay, she's young, she's small, she, you know, like, you know, Linda Hamilton was, you know, like when she was casted, and I was like, but you know, they don't really look that alike. But then I saw the trailer and I was like, holy crap, she totally looks like young Linda Hamilton. But to talk about the acting, I'm a big Jason Clarke fan. I mean, I've loved him in everything that I've seen of him, especially Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He did a stellar performance in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But I have to admit, when he was given that speech, he did not deliver that very well. Now, granted, this is a trailer, and I'm going to reserve judgment for when I see the full movie. But I was not impressed whatsoever on his delivery. And he's a good actor, and so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I understand where people are coming from with their criticisms towards
him.
I wasn't acting.
Here's the thing. I wasn't impressed by him, but I wasn't turned off either.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like so people were so negatively, violently against the movie after seeing the trailer. And I wasn't. I mean, I had more of a positive reaction, but I'll agree with you that the speech that he's giving is basically standard trailer motivational speech. you know what I mean? It's nothing special. Now, we'll get to see it in context, and I'm sure it'll be much better. But John Connor, except for the fact when he was being chased in 2 and 3, never felt like a vital main character in the story to me. Even in Salvation, I mean, I think Bale kind of took a back seat. It was really more Sam Worthington's movie. I don't think he'll be essential to this. To me, Terminator was always more a story about the term Arnold and Sarah Connor and to a lesser extent Kyle in the first movie.
I have a feeling that what we saw in the trailer, those scenes are probably going to be what we see of Jason Clarke in the movie. I get that feeling.
Yeah, there's no way, because if what I'm getting from the trailer is that this is going to create an alternate timeline, then that John that we see at the beginning technically might not exist anymore.
Yeah, and there's one thing. I mean, okay, I don't remember. Maybe I need to go back and watch this, because I know Arnold Schwarzenegger was huge, like literally huge back in the day. I know that he was huge, and I've seen the Pumping Iron documentary, and I've seen him at his peak, and I've seen the first Terminator, and you see him with his shirt off. He just, whenever they did a CGI Arnold in Terminator Salvation, we see a CGI Arnold in this trailer, and it just never looks quite right. He looks too wide.
I don't think that's a CGI Arnold, because that looks almost identical to T1 footage. I think that you need to go back and watch that first film again. I think that's a shot straight out of the first film. He was that big.
No, that was CGI.
Well, then if it was amazing CGI then, because that looked like I literally thought they cut a frame out of the old movie and put it in the trailer.
Probably what they did was they got a body double and then put his face on him. Is probably what they did.
I go back and watch that first movie. I think you're not giving him enough credit. He was that big.
Dude, no, I guarantee you that is not a shot from the original Terminator. Okay. I guarantee you. I will bet you money on that.
All right.
We can research it as soon as we're done here, but I guarantee you that is not a shot from the movie.
Well, if it wasn't, then I was fooled then.
I do this for a living, okay? It was not. But okay, so we've talked about the casting. And I think it's a good choice in Emilia Clarke. I love, I love their casting choice. You know, like Jay Courtney, like you said, we'll see. But you know, speaking of casting, there's been a
and speaking
lot
of Jay Courtney.
Yeah, speaking of Jay Courtney, there's been a lot of new casting news on top of Terminator, but also with him, he's going to be in the Suicide Squad film. Now he is probably the most minor casting choice in the film, because here's the full blown list. I'm going to read it for you guys who are listening. We have Tom Hardy returning to the DC universe, but as Rick Flagg. We have Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. We have Will Smith as Deadshot. Cara Delevingne as the Enchantress. We have Jai Courtney as Boomerang, and we possibly have Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor in the movie. Possibly. It's not been confirmed yet. And the biggest news of all, Jared Leto as the Joker.
Now, you're going to have to run this down for me as the DC fan, Tristan. I don't know who any of these people are aside from Harley Quinn and the Joker and Lex Luthor. So, you know, are these are all various DC villains at some point that come together for some sort of superhero squad?
Yes. Like, what it is, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Suicide Squad. I, you know, like, I've only read a few here and there. And so, like, there's a long history of people. It's kind of like the anti-Avengers, where, you know, like, the history of the Avengers, you have, like, founding members and then people who kind of come in and out of the Avengers. And, like, you have rotating members and things like that. That's kind of how it was with Suicide Squad. What happened is that they captured some of these people. You know, the government or whomever, and they said, they're like, okay, well, here's the deal. I mean, we'll let you out of prison if you do this job for us, you know, like, and you know, here's your team. And that's what they did with Deadshot. Like, well, in one iteration, that's what they did with them, Deadshot. They said, they're like, okay, well, if you help us out, we'll give you your freedom. You know, you can go. And the Joker was never a part of the Suicide Squad. He's just in this movie. Harley Quinn was a member of the Suicide Squad. And that's why we're getting the Joker, is because Harley Quinn and the Joker are together.
there's some speculation here that the Joker might be the villain of the movie.
Well, see, I don't know how that's... I don't exactly know how that's going to work. Because, I mean, there is... Okay, there's an animated movie that came out that's actually really, really good. It's called Assault on Arkham. Mm-hmm. And it... It barely has Batman in it at all. And so when that was announced, I was really wary of that. I was like, I don't know, you know, like a movie without Batman would work as well as a show without Batman. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Gotham's on the air.
I know. I'm just kidding. But when I saw it, I was like, wow, this is really good. And so, you know, so like Suicide Squad was brought together and they had to break into Arkham, and the Joker was in Arkham at the time, and Harley Quinn just like went crazy because they were on the outs, and she just like wanted to kill him, and so he got out while the Suicide Squad was doing the mission in Arkham. So that's what I would assume. They're probably doing something like that, you know, where like they're on a job and then the Joker just shows up. But the thing is, the Joker is not in the Suicide Squad, so that's all that we know about the movie if they follow the comics. And I really, really hope that they don't make him a part of that squad, because that's just weird.
Now, as someone who is more familiar with these characters than I am, Tristan, how do you feel about the casting choices that we have so far?
Well, let's just start with the top one, with Jared Leto. I love Jared Leto. I think he is fantastic. I think he's a great actor. I mean, he's the type of person that, where my wife and I were watching Dallas Buyers Club, and she doesn't know anything about him, and I've been following his acting career for a long time. I've been following his music career, and I told her about his music career. I was like, oh yeah, he can sing too. And then I put on some 30 Seconds of Mars, and I was like, son of a bitch. I mean, he's super attractive. He has Oscar worthy acting, and he has a great voice. I was like, that's not fair. It's just not fair to have that much talent in one person. And so everybody who's complaining about him being the Joker, wake up. I mean, this guy is amazing, and I feel like he has the look for it. He'll be able to give us something new while still hearkening back to what we know and love about the Joker.
Right. Here's the thing with Jared Leto. I agree with you. I liked him since Panic Room, if you remember that movie way back when.
Yeah, that's a David Fincher film.
It is a David Fincher film, and it was him and Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. I liked him since that movie, and he's really hot right now, coming off, you know, literally and figuratively, coming off of his Oscar win for Dallas Buyers. Mm-hmm. That being said, you say you envy him, I don't envy him, because if Heath Ledger had a job coming after Jack Nicholson and people had assumptions about that, I don't want to be Jared Leto right now. Because the expectations after Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight are going to be monumental. And whether it deserved to be or not, it's going to be compared. You just know it's going to be compared.
You're absolutely right, because there's less time in between. I mean, with Joker, with Jack Nicholson, that was in 1989. With The Dark Knight, that was in 2008. Eight? Yeah, and so there's a whole bunch of time in between. We're now in 2014. This is going to come out. I can't remember.
In 2016. In 2016.
And so, you know, that is a great deal less amount of time. And also, Jack Nicholson's performance was not Oscar winning.
Right. And it didn't capture the zeitgeist of geek culture and movie culture the way that Heath Ledger did. Everybody was talking about that performance.
Oh, no. What I mean is literal.
Yeah, like, I know.
Joker was nominated and won an Oscar. Jack Nicholson did not. And so that's even more pressure.
I'm aware. That's why I say I don't want – I do not envy Jared Leto's job right now. I think he'll do a good job, but I feel – you know, I'm in his corner praying for him. Let's just say that much.
And so, you know, and to move on, because I could talk about this all day, but like to move on to other casting, I mean, Boomerang, I've never really been impressed with Boomerang as a character, because he literally throws boomerangs. With Deadshot, though, Deadshot is an awesome character and really badass, and I don't know if Will Smith is bad enough for Deadshot.
I would say maybe back in the day he would have been, but honestly, quite honestly, when he was announced as, like, I guess he's supposed to be the lead, something like to that effect, that, you know, Will Smith has become a little bit of a box office warning to me. It's like, with his last few films, whenever he's in it, it's like, well, I don't need to see this.
Yeah, there's, I haven't seen a good Will Smith movie in a long time, but I'm glad to see Tom Hardy come back to the DC Universe. I think it's brave of them to cast him in a role that's not Bane in a new universe with a new set of rules. I think it's cool. I don't know much about Rick Flagg, so I can't really comment.
Again, so close to him being Bane. I mean, by the time this comes out, Bane will have only been 4 years ago.
But it'll be such a different character and interpretation that we won't even notice.
Maybe I'll be able to understand him this time.
Maybe. I'm sure you will this time. But then you have Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. And Harley Quinn is very near and dear to my heart. I have a whole bunch of Batman stuff all over my house, figurines and posters and comic books. But I also have a lot of Harley Quinn stuff. I mean, Batman's my favorite character in the DC Universe, and Harley Quinn is my wife's favorite character in the DC Universe, and so we always love the pairing of the two of them together whenever we can find it. And I don't like Margot Robbie, and I want them to play her well, because she is, as I said, she's just a very important character to me, and it would be so easy to play her dumb as the dumb psycho blonde, and she's not a dumb psycho blonde. She's a doctor. She's an educated woman who the Joker drove insane.
See, here's the thing with Margot Robbie. This was an announcement, especially her, that got a lot of positive buzz. Now, the only thing I'm familiar with Margot Robbie is I saw her last year in The Wolf of Wall Street, and everyone who saw that movie, I mean, I liked Wolf of Wall Street, but everyone and their brother was like, oh, this is amazing, and she was amazing in it, and I was like, she played kind of a slut in it, and all she had to do was bang Leonardo DiCaprio. I think I could have done that had they hired me, you know?
And here's the thing is, like, I'm not saying, like, she's going to play her dumb because she's an attractive blonde. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I do not want the writers to write her that way. That is what I'm saying. Like, no. But on top of that, I was not impressed with her performance because, I mean, she was, you know, she was interchangeable. She was the hot person in Wolf of Wall Street. And I want the writers to do Harley Quinn justice. And am I saying that Margot Robbie can't do it? I'm not saying that at all. I am not saying that at all. I just don't want the writers to do what they did with her character in Wolf of Wall Street.
Right. And you have to wonder if that they had that performance in mind when she was cast. You know, that's the problem. And like I said, I thought Wolf of Wall Street was okay, but, you know, when everyone was buzzing about her performance, I'm like, she did what I saw a bunch of other women do in better Scorsese films.
Yeah.
So I wasn't that taken away with her. I don't know too much about the project. I look forward to seeing it, but, you know, you talk about what they might or might not do with Harley Quinn. I hate to sound like a negative person, but you know, this is being produced by Zack Snyder, and he doesn't necessarily have the best track record when it comes to his female characters in other movies.
Yeah, I mean, neither does Scorsese, where, you know, where Margot Robbie comes from, at least where we know her from. And so that's why I really hope that she is not a throwaway character, because she is such a fantastic female character. And for any of you who are comic book fans or fans of the animated series, you know that Harley Quinn mixed with Poison Ivy are some fantastic female characters that you don't get that often in comic books. And so that's why I don't want them to be a throwaway. I want her to have some substance, and I want, if they're male writers, I want them to get off of their ass and do their research and not just have a throwaway female character, because there's so many movies out there, especially in comic book films, where female characters are completely interchangeable. And so this is, as I said, I was like, this is not a comment on Robbie. This is more of a comment on the writer saying, please do your research.
And no, I don't think you're being, you know, negative on Robbie or her potential at all. I think you're just doing what I think a lot of people should do. I understand people's positive and negative reactions to these, but, you know, it's much more of a wait and see approach. We'll just see what happens as more Absolutely. And more things come out about the film.
I'm going to be cautiously optimistic, but after seeing that animated film, I am much more excited about this film than I would have been before.
Right.
But we have so much more to talk about in so little time. We have to talk about something that you and I are so excited about. I mean, you and I are like, that's one franchise that we bonded over besides Star Trek.
No pun intended.
Oh, bam. I didn't even mean for that pun to happen. And oh, see, I should have said that I meant to happen. And that's the James Bond films. And Spectre had a huge announcement a couple days ago.
Well, the new film had a huge announcement a few days ago where we found out it was going to be called Spectre.
That's right.
And you know, Tristan and whoever else followed me on Twitter knew that I knew that the announcement was coming for the film. I kept posting about it. I was really excited. And then the announcement comes that it's going to be called Spectre, and I think I lost my mind because this is so classic Bond. And quite frankly, even though they were kind of taken to the point of ridiculousness in the original films, it's an enemy that I wanted to see come back in this new reboot verse so badly, and I'm so glad we're getting it.
This couldn't have been better for me, because you and I have talked about Spectre for years, and when Quantum of Solace came out and they talked about a super secret society called Quantum, my first reaction was, what the hell? Why didn't they set this up to be Spectre?
It was so obviously meant to be Spectre. You know, it was crying out for it to be Spectre.
It was crying out for it to be Spectre. And so I didn't know any of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but apparently the rights holder to Spectre as well as Blofeld, they were in a copyright dispute with, with MGM and everything, with United Arts and all that business. And so that's why they couldn't use it in Quantum. And so now they finally have permission, and that's the first thing that they're going to do right out of the gate. That's cool.
And I think my prediction is, and I've seen this theory banded across the internet, is we're going to find out in this new film that Quantum is an arm of Spectre.
Yeah, absolutely. It has to happen that way. It absolutely has to happen that way, where it's just like, oh, Quantum was just the beginning, or Quantum was just a smokescreen. You know, like, we're going to get one of those conversations.
And really quickly, I'm very happy because not only do we get the announcement, we got to see the new car, which looks badass. It's an Aston Martin, as it should be. And we also got the casting reveals. Now, first of all, I'm very, very happy that everyone who, you know, of course Bond is coming back. It's a James Bond film, but I'm happy that everyone who was casted in Skyfall is coming back. I figured they would, but I'm glad it's confirmed, because you know, you never know what could happen in between films. But yes, Ralph Fiennes is M, Naomi Harris, Ben Whishaw is Q. They're all coming back, so I'm very happy about that. But then we got the announcement of the new cast members. And you want to take us through that, Tristan?
Yes, I have the list right in front of me. And we'll save the best for last. But I want to start right off the top with Andrew Scott, who I know the best from Sherlock.
Yes, I'm a big fan of his through Sherlock. So if he turns out, I know he's being touted as an MI5 agent, but if he turns out to be a Spectre agent, I would love that, because he plays such a good bad guy.
Yeah, like, he makes a fantastic bad guy, and so I'd be so happy if he turned into that, exactly the scenario that you talked about. The first thing that I actually saw him in was the HBO miniseries of John Adams, and so I was really surprised to see him in Sherlock, because like, I was like, oh, this is just a side character guy. But then he turned out to be, you know, this big villain, and I think he's perfect in the Bond universe. And then we have Monica Bellucci, and now, tell me if I'm wrong, but didn't we have the quote-unquote confirmation that Penelope Cruz was going to be the latest Bond girl, and I'm assuming that Monica Bellucci took her place?
I heard that those were all rumors. I didn't think it was ever confirmed. But I've seen Monica Bellucci in things, and people really love Monica Bellucci. I have to admit, for a woman, she's got to be in her 40s or early 50s at this point. She looks great.
Monica Bellucci is an Italian goddess, okay?
every heterosexual guy I know is in love with her, so.
Yeah, she is 50, okay?
I think she looks gorgeous for 50.
She looks gorgeous for 22, okay? Like, as you can tell, I have a big crush on Monica Bellucci, but she's so perfect to be a Bond girl. Like, even if she was never casted in a Bond film, after she died, her memorial would say, one of the best Bond girls that ever lived.
See, and people are, you know, she's going to be a Bond girl. I think my prediction for her is that she's going to be a Bond femme fatale in the likes you know, the female Spectre agents and, you know, and countless other women who are in the Bond series. But, you know, you have the good Bond girls and you have the Bond girls that turn out to be evil. I think she's going to be the evil one in this one.
Oh, I think so too, and that doesn't change my thoughts in any way, shape, or form. If anything, entices me more. But then we move on to the big news, and that is Christoph Waltz, who is another person that I would say you know, after he died and never got cast in a Bond film, he would be described as one of the greatest Bond villains of all time.
This man is made to be a Bond villain. I'm so happy he's in this film. Again, people call this kind of safe casting. Safe casting doesn't mean bad casting. Let's just put that out there. You know, so, you know, perfect. And what is the name that they're giving this character? Because they came out with his character name. It's Oberhauser.
And I want you to say what you told me behind the scenes on Twitter, because I think it's absolutely perfect.
Oberhauser. Now, there's this whole speculation about Spectre and, of course, Blofeld, but no Blofeld was announced at this initial meeting. Now, keep in mind, I'm a fan of this movie. Tristan isn't, but I was. The thing I said on Twitter when I read it is I said, Oberhauser, huh? I smell another John Harrison.
And for those of you who don't know, John Harrison was the code name of Khan in Star Trek Into Darkness. And where it's just like everybody was trying to, you know, so that way they had this big reveal of, I am Khan. And Kirk, of course, has no idea what he's talking about. But with Oberhauser, I think it makes sense that, oh, that's his name, that's what we know him as, and like three quarters of the way through the movie, he's going to say, my real name is Blofeld.
Or, I don't know. How crazy would it be if we went through this whole movie and something happened to his character and he dies, and maybe it's, what if it's like Andrew Scott is actually Blofeld?
Yeah, okay, that'd be cool. Then we have a younger Blofeld, and maybe we get to see him in a few more movies instead of constantly switching up the actor like they did in the older Bond films. And also, I think one thing that I said on Twitter that you said gave you chills, and I was like, maybe this is the movie where we see how Blofeld got his scar across his eye, and maybe it was Bond who did it.
That would be fantastic. I would love that immensely.
I'd be shaking if that actually happened.
The other casting announcement that I kind of thought was fun is Dave Bautista from Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be Mr. Hinks, and I'm just getting a Jaws odd job vibe off of him. I'm so ready for that kind of henchman to come back. Actually.
Yeah, I mean, like right when he walked on, I was like, oh sweet, we're getting another odd job, and I was like, but an odd job that can act.
And actually, you haven't seen Guardians yet. It comes out on Blu-ray this week. I'm going to give you my digital code. He's a fun guy. Like, he's just a fun presence.
I can't wait to see it.
I think by the time you see Guardians, you'll be looking forward to having him in this movie.
Now, a lot of people have complained about the new Bond films. And a lot of people whose opinion I respect, they complain that it's too dark. It's too dreary because Bond films are not just action films. They're not just over-the-top dark action films, and some people think that that's what it's been like ever since Craig took over. And I can't exactly argue with them, but I think we got a little bit more lighthearted with Skyfall. But the thing is, though, is that they were setting it up, they were rebuilding, they took their time in those first three movies to rebuild a new universe, to rebuild a new continuity. Right. And so at the end of Skyfall, we have M and we have Q and we have Moneypenny and we have that mahogany office. And Daniel Craig just was in an interview that was released just today about how people were asking him those questions. And his response is, Mike Myers effed us. But he didn't say F. But like, he's like, yeah, Mike Myers, like, to paraphrase, Mike Myers really screwed us over. He's like, don't get me wrong, I'm a big Mike Myers fan, but he screwed us over. Okay, we can't.
Well, yes.
Like, we can't do any of that lighthearted, jokey, goofy stuff anymore because immediately people will think of Austin Powers. This is what he said.
Well, not only that, I mean, let's look at the film that preceded this Craig Bond series. Die Another Day was so goofy and had gone so far in the other direction that there was no choice but to pull it back and reground it. I mean, Sean Connery's movies were goofy in that 60s sensibility, but they weren't wacky like it had gotten to by the time of Die Another Day. So I had no problem with it. And as you mentioned, Skyfall, I saw some of the old Bonds start to creep into the new series. I mean, how could you not? He makes jokes. They're wise ass jokes, but they're jokes that Sean Connery would have made.
Yeah.
And you know, you had fan moments in there. I mean, when he opens the garage door and it's the Aston Martin from Goldfinger, I remember actually me and a few other fans who were at the midnight showing when it premiered here, we actively cheered in the middle of this dark theater. That movie did everything that I wanted as a Bond fan, and I could not be looking forward more to Spectre. I can't wait. And I hope it's going to be good, considering that they're really shooting this in a short amount of time. They announced all this
Wait, short amount of time? What are you talking about? They're going to be filming for 7 or 9 months.
I know, but you think about the movie process these days, and movies that are being made in 2016 are being made now. This is like an 11-month turnaround time.
But here's the thing, is that 7 to 9 months of shooting is insane. Now, Fincher did that with Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, and people wanted to kill themselves because that's such a long time of shooting. Now, like, the thing that has been adding on to the time nowadays is the post-production process, because things are so CGI heavy is that it takes years to build this CGI world, like with a Marvel movie or with a Jurassic Park movie. But I think the thing that is beneficial about this is that if they have a long shooting time and not a long post-production time, is that this isn't going to be CGI heavy, because a Bond movie shouldn't be CGI heavy. It should be practical heavy.
And I don't think that any of the other Craig ones were CGI heavy either. They had their fair share of practical stunts. Now, there is going to be some CGI involved, especially if Q's gadgets are a little bit more high-tech this go-around than they were last time. But I guess you're right. I'm just so used to these big-budget movies taking forever to shoot that when I hear something like an 11-month turnaround, to me that almost is like, wait, that's way too short.
So when is the release date again?
It's supposed to be November 6th for us. I have no idea if it's coming out a couple weeks earlier in the UK, but probably.
Yes. Now, that is a very quick turnaround. You are absolutely right. And for a big budget, you know, big film like Bond, belonging to a franchise with 24 films, that is a very quick turnaround time. But that is an exceptionally long shooting time.
Okay, well, I trust you as the filmmaker. It strikes me odd when I'm so used to hearing like movies that haven't even been announced until 2016 are shooting now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I know we're running short on time here. We have more news. I think we should put that the rest of the news at the beginning of our next show. These were the ones that you and I got most excited about.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, I think other people are excited about them too. Let us know what you guys think of all this news that has happened before. And again, we're aware that we didn't cover it all, but there more things will come.
More things to come. And yes, you're absolutely right, Matt. We want to hear from you guys. Please email us at the email address contact@thenerdparty.com. Go to thenerdparty.com for all your geek needs when it comes to The Nerd Party. From there, you can find any way to listen to us, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you like to listen to podcasts, we are available. And please write us a review if you can. And if you do write us a review, send us an email and let us know. Or you can contact us on Twitter. You can contact me at @TheInsaneRobin.
And you can contact me at @MHanson0207. And you can contact both of us, but more likely me, through our Facebook page.
Yes, please. We are at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. We're trying to get more people involved there. If you have a Facebook, send us a message through that way, or write a post and so other people can interact with it. Let us know what your favorite news from these past couple of weeks have been, and maybe we missed it. Or let us know what you thought about Star Wars, Suicide Squad, or Spectre. Just let us know. But thank you for listening. I'm Tristan Rendell.
And I'm Matt Hansen. Thank you for joining the Nerd Party. And I wonder how many people are going to learn over these next few years what Spectre stands for.
Coming up next week.
Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Another naked pic request.
Why doesn't he stop?
I know, he just keeps on and on and on. Maybe I should just send him one?
No way!
He said I could trust him.
Heard that before.
Look what happened to, what's her name? Some guy shared her pic and it broke the internet. Everyone saw it. Her parents, her teachers. Poor girl.
He's getting well desperate.
Ugh, forget him.
No one should be pressured into sending a naked picture. To find out more, search Disrespect Nobody.